Hearing the word of God is always a good thing. Amen. Amen. So, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight at 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start a series, The Seven Deadly Sins. Seven Deadly Sins. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 9. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." How many believe we're there? Come on. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." How about that? Sound like today? "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Here's one. How about this? "Without natural affection." Parents don't love their kids anymore. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good." You're a Christian today, it's hard to be loved, isn't it? "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be in a humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." So I want to talk to you tonight the seven deadly sins, and the first one we're going to talk about is pride. Anybody ever have to deal with pride? We have to fight it sometimes, don't we? You see, the ancient Greek philosophers did not view sin as a really serious problem. And they basically interpreted sin as a fundamental and unavoidable imperfection in human character. It was a weak point in our personalities. And as the Holy Spirit multiplied the growth of in the early church around the Mediterranean Sea area, it became evident that the church must stress the seriousness of the problem of sin in their teachings. You see, the result of the concept of the seven deadly sins was what exactly is meant by that terminology, the deadly sin. They're not deadly in the sense that they are beyond God's grace, beyond God's love, or beyond God's forgiveness. That's not what we're talking about. They are serious because they are harmful to our Christian character and to our Christian salvation. You see, if we let those sins go, these sins go, without repentance, without confession, then we might look at them in terms of our math teaching elementary school, where we taught to reduce all of our fractions to their lowest common denominator. In other words, folks, these seven sins are those that we might come to view as primary or basic. They, in turn, what they do is they give birth to other sins or form the core of other vices in human nature. They are basic root of all sin. The root, the primary, or basic sins have always included pride, covetousness, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, and sloth. We are We're going to look at each one of these. The sin of pride always heads the list, and for very valid reasons. Just what is the deadly sin of pride? You see, pride, folks, conveys a positive as well as a negative image and connotation. In a good sense, pride refers to a proper and justified self-respect. Pride becomes sin when I exhibit too high an opinion of myself. My own importance, my own talents, or my own abilities. Well, I can do this or I can do that. I can do it better than anybody. I'm so good at this or so good at that. And you know what I'm talking about, people who think so highly of themselves. Pride is sinful when I believe and behave as if I'm superior to other people. And that I can live and manage my own life and my own strength. I can do it through my own abilities. Totally independent of God and with no regard for him to guide and to direct my life. I don't need a pastor. Why do I need to obey a pastor? I talk directly to God. Because God put him there. It's a gift to you. Your pastor is a gift to you. Read the Bible. God gave some, right? You see, like William Ernest Henley in his poem Invictus, he says, my attitude in life is, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. You see, sinful pride is an unreasonable self-esteem and personal attitude, folks, that treats God and others with rudeness and disrespect. Sinful pride, you know what it does? It seeks personal glory. Sinful pride seeks praise. Sinful pride seeks applause from others and becomes distressed and angry when praise is lacking or withheld. Sinful pride, you know what it does? It refuses to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ over one's life. You see, I believe that we are in the very last days. By that I mean, I am convinced that Jesus Christ's return is sooner than we might think. The last days refer to the time of the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be established in a rule over our world. You see, the text from 2 Timothy 3 affirms, says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People, folks, people will be boastful. People will be proud. People will be abusive. James 4:6 declares, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Paul said in Romans 1:30, they are innocent, arrogant, and boastful. Scripture often links arrogance, boastfulness, insolence with sinful pride. So in reality, boastfulness and arrogance and difference are different expressions of pride. An arrogant person is full of pride. An arrogant person is very self-important. One who is arrogant oftentimes shows no respect for other people. Folks, do you know that the name of the state of Illinois comes from an Indian term to which a French suffix has been added, and it literally means tribe of superior men. So throughout history, many individuals and nations have been seen themselves as superior to others. We've seen it throughout history. In particular, we remember Hitler, the Nazi Germany that viewed themselves as a superior race. And Hitler and Nazi Germany are not the only ones to persecute and to look down upon others. How many times have around the world and all over different countries and America been just as guilty of a proud spirit that has shown contempt and disrespect toward different ethnicities? Charles Spurgeon tells a story about a Spaniard in South America who suffered severely from gout but refused to be cured by an Indian. He said, "I know," he said, "that he is a famous man and would certainly cure me, but he's an Indian and would expect to be treated with attentions that which I cannot pay to a man of color. And therefore, I prefer to remain as I am." Folks, God opposes such spirit and attitude. You see, this is the pride of arrogance that is full of self-importance and shows no respect for others. You see, many people like to toot their own horns. So it is those times when we talk about our own accomplishments and our own abilities with too much pride. We are tooting our own horns. On May 31st, 1889, there was a terrible flood in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Thousands of lives were lost, and the event was one of the most significant newsmakers of the year. And a story was told about a man who lived through the flood, and every time he got a chance, he would tell people about it. And he died and went to heaven, and where he was told he could have anything he wanted. The man said he wanted a great hall where he could tell his story to tens of thousands of people. And the wish was granted. The day came. The hall was packed of thousands. The wish was granted. The day came. And as he was ready to make his talk about Johnstown flood, the master of ceremonies told him he would be the second speaker on the program. And he would be preceded by a man named Noah. You see, it has been said, don't brag. It isn't the whistle that pulls the train. We should, folks, we all should follow the example that Paul set for us in Galatians 6:14. He says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Amen. A man by the name of Croft Pence said this. He said, "You can't glory yourself and Christ at the same time." Come on. Pride, boast in one's own accomplishments and one's own abilities. The Christian boasts of the grace. The Christian should boast of forgiveness. The Christian should boast of love that are found in personal, daily relationships with Jesus Christ. James Hewitt, former pastor of Saratoga, California Presbyterian Church, tells the story of once hearing a missionary tell how he was trying to do translation work in a particular tribe and found it hard to translate the word pride, or at least the concept of pride. He finally came to the idea to use the word or the words for ears being too far apart. In other words, he conveyed the idea of an inflated or a big head, which is probably hard to improve on when we talk about the problem of pride. Amen? You ever hear his head's so big it can't fit through the door? Huh? Folks, it was pride. Listen to me tonight. It was pride that led both the fall of Satan and the fall of the human race when tempted by him. In Genesis 3, 4 through 6, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Oh, that, you're like, oh yeah? Oh really?
With the woman, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, thinking, ah, good, that's for me, I deserve it. Pleasing to the eye, and also desirable to gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You see, it was the temptation of pride that led Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. She saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. She was motivated as well by the serpent's words when he said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I deserve that. Croft Pence said this, the greatest barrier between some Christians and God's omnipotent power is their own supposed strength. Folks, this is the deadly sin of pride we're talking about tonight. If we let it go unconfessed and without sincere repentance, it will continue to impair our Christian character, to impair our Christian witness, and to harm our salvation and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Pride heads the list of the seven deadly sins, and Solomon knew that. He knew what he was talking about when he warned us in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He knew what he was talking about. You see, yielding to temptation of pride led to the fall of Satan and to the entire human race. And it has led many others through the centuries as to fall as well. Pride is the basic root of all sin. And that is why it heads the list of the seven deadly sins. Folks, and we live in these last days. We should humble ourselves continually in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we will continually, if we do that, we will continually renew us in the grace of God. So when tempted, when you are tempted to be arrogant or boastful, we should yield ourselves to his control. God, forgive me. God, forgive me for that. And when we yield to his control, that we show love. When somebody comes at you and you feel you have every right, you can justify every right just chomping on them. God, forgive me. And God will, if we yield to him, He can help us show that love. He can help us to extend that grace to that person or that mercy toward the other people and think more of them than we do ourselves. Amen? And may our boasting be in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and not ourselves. And through his cross, folks, may the world be crucified to us and may we be crucified to the world. You see, folks, his Holy Spirit is what will help us to enable us to overcome the deadly sin of pride. Amen? Let's stand here tonight. We need more of him and less of us. Amen? And God, help us. Spirit, take over in us. Sometimes when we think that we have every right to boast in ourselves or every right to, yell at somebody or because we think we're better than they are. Whatever it may be, God needs to be able to take control in our lives and say, God, it's not me. It's all about you. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you tonight, God, and I just ask you to just help us here, Lord, to hear this word and apply it to our lives. Let your will be done. Go with us as we go home tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.